the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. You know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one through the Spirit is given the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing in the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according to his will. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, did not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went back home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican is one of the shortest parables our Lord gives in the New Testament, and yet it is one of the deepest, one of the most fundamental, for it speaks of pride and humility. Pride and humility. Now, the two men in the parable, the Pharisee and the publican, everybody probably knows what a Pharisee is. The Pharisees were a specific sect of Jews who were very rigorous in their observance of the Jewish laws. They were so rigorous that they would oftentimes do what we call put a fence around the law. They would say, this is the law of God, but just in case we don't transgress that, we'll do something even more just to make sure that we don't transgress it. So the Pharisee talks about paying tithes on all that he possesses. He didn't have to do that. The law was just under certain things to pay tithes on. So he went beyond it, but this is what the Pharisees did. They were very, very scrupulous in observing these things. Now, publicans, though, they don't appear that often in the Gospels, and usually when they are, they just kind of refer to as publicans, and we don't spend much time on them. And so we get the notion that publicans are sort of the outcasts, disrespected, but what are the publicans? The publicans were, in a sense, the tax collectors, that they would collect taxes. But remember, the Jews had been conquered by the Romans, so it was the Roman foreign government, the foreign nation, that was collecting the taxes. So the publicans, who were Jews, were in the employment of a foreign nation, oppressing, by taxes, the people. So they weren't very popular. Normally, taxes aren't very popular, but it's even worse if your taxes go to some foreign nation. Think about if, you know, Canada started taxing us or something. It wouldn't be very popular. But the way the Romans set up the tax structure was, they would set a certain amount a certain amount of taxes, and they would hire the locals, so the Jews, to get the taxes. And so this man was then responsible of collecting the taxes to pay the Roman governor. But there was no set tax rate. He could levy whatever taxes he thought. And as long as he paid the Roman governor, the Romans were happy. He got to keep the rest. So he's living among the people. And he lives in a nice house. Everybody knows this is how it works. So he says, you've got to pay me taxes. And he's paying some to the Roman governor, and he gets to keep the rest, and he has servants or something. So he's not very well respected. But it's actually even worse than that. For if we remember, at this time the Jews thought the Messiah was going to be a political Messiah. For them, the high point, the golden age of their religion and nation was the time of King David. King David and King Solomon at the same time, his son. The country was at its high point. And they viewed the Messiah in this way, that he would be a king, but a worldly king, in which he would conquer the other nations and rule over them. He would be a worldly king. So, understanding that, the publican is more than just some tax collector. He's betraying the very nation and religion. Why? Because the Romans are the conquerors, and he's helping them keep the Jews suppressed by taxation, by supporting the government, whereas the Jews, many of the Jews, believe it should be the other way around. So this man is not only taxing us, but he is now undermining, he is actually betraying our religion, because we're the ones, the Messiah is the one who's going to be the conqueror. So he is worse than just a tax collector. And so, when I was preparing for this homily, I tried to think of someone or some type of thing that would kind of convey this or be similar to what we would experience today. And I thought about some of the politicians, the Catholic politicians, who have, in a sense, betrayed our faith by their laws, supporting abortion and these type of things. And I thought, you know, in a sense that is similar, but it's actually worse than that. The publicans are worse than that. And so I'll even say their names here. Someone like Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden, who feel that they're good Catholics. They'll state that I'm a Catholic in good standing, and yet the bishops will then say, no, you're not, because you can't support abortion as a politician. And so many, you know, good Catholics are, all good Catholics would then look to them and say, well, you know, they're actually betraying our faith, they're betraying our religion for political purposes. This is similar to the attitude of the publicans, but the publicans were even worse than that. So, we now understand these two people, two completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And our Lord holds them up, and he says that, in a sense, we would think that the Pharisee, for he follows all the laws, goes even beyond just following the laws, adds to them, does more than what is asked. And yet, who is the one our Lord says when he goes home is the one that is justified? It is the publican, not the Pharisee. And when he says justified, I don't want to get into justification, what that means. We just understand that as, in a way, we can understand it as, he would be the one in sanctifying grace. The Pharisee wouldn't be. The publican is the one who goes home in good standing with God. The Pharisee doesn't. Why is that? Simply because the Pharisee is prideful and the publican is humble. And it is the humility. It is the humility of the publican that by which he is able to be justified. Now, St. Gregory the Great, when commenting upon this gospel, talks about there are four forms of pride. Four forms of pride, and the publican exhibits them. It's really kind of three and a half, and we'll go through them. He says, first, one form of pride is to think that what is good in us is from ourselves. What is good in me is from myself. Doesn't come from God. I'm a self-made man. I've done it all. Everything that's good, I've done. That's false. That's pride. Anything that's good comes from God. God is not good. He is goodness himself. And when he creates, as we read in Genesis, he creates. He says, it is good, it is good, it is good. There are 10 times he says that. And then when he creates man, he says, very good. goodness comes from God. All good things only come from God. The second type of pride is to think what is good in us is maybe given from above. So this is similar to the first one. This is why I say it's really 3.5. Is maybe given from above, but is based upon our own merits alone. Alone. That is, I do these things and God then gives me these good things. Why? Simply because I do them. So it's still rooted back in myself. And this is kind of what the Pharisee is talking about when he's praising himself to God. If you notice, he's not really worshiping God. He's, you know, praising himself. I do this, God, look at me, and I do all this. I fast, and I give tithes. He's naming these good things, but the reality is, he's naming them as though they come from himself, but they're not. They don't. The ability for him to do those good things comes from God. God gives him the ability. If they're good, we can debate whether the Pharisee's actions are actually good. But God gives him that ability, and then he's able to do the good things. So when we pray, we should thank God for the grace to be able to do something good, but recognize that that ability comes from God himself. The third form is boasting, as though one has something that one does not have. And we can see this, well, I'll cover the fourth, and I'll talk about both these together. And then the fourth form of pride that St. Gregory the Great mentions when commenting on the gospel here, he says, holding others in contempt and wanting to appear as though the person possesses, that they possess alone, that some good that the person possesses, they're the only ones that have it. And anyone else who may have it, they hold them in contempt. And so a good example of this is sometimes you hear this, and this can just be like simple talk when you're talking to someone, and it might be something even, could be about anything, and you've heard this, where someone will say, oh, well, I gotta, you know, Vincenzo, he doesn't know anything about baseball. It's just a put down like that. You know, he's trying to say something, and the person says, well, you don't know anything about baseball. And that's a form of contempt, putting him down. Why? Because the implication is, I know it, and I'm the only one that knows it. You don't know about it, I know about it. That's a form of pride. Now, that's a very simple example, but that happens all the time, and we can see that a lot. Once you see it, you can see those simple type of things, and then we can expand them as you can reflect on your own life, and you can see how that can happen in all different situations. It's when we feel that some good that we possess, we're the only ones that possess it. Anyone else doesn't really have it, or doesn't have it to our degree, and that we don't really respect them, try to put them down. Now, it might not be publicly putting them down, but in our hearts we do. And so, how to apply it to the gospel here is the Pharisee is looking at the publican. And it's referring to his justification, that is, his right standing with God. The Pharisee, if you notice, thinks he's the only one who's in good standing with God. Let's just look at this here. The Pharisee began to pray within himself thus, oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men. He thinks he's the only one. He doesn't say I'm not like most other people. I'm not like the rest of the people, for I'm the only one who really is right in your sight. And that's the simple way we can say justification. I'm the only one who really is with you, God. Thank you for creating me this way. But this is, and then he holds the publican in contempt, like the murderers, the robbers, the adulterers, and that guy over there. The worst of them all. And he holds him in contempt, putting him down. Why? So that he is elevated. But the reality is what? Is that he's not the one who's in right standing with God. That at the end of their prayers, which one? It's the publican. The one who's humble, who humbles himself before the Lord. And so, For us, we need to then strive for humility. It is very easy for us to look at the Pharisees and say, oh, you know, I would never be like that. No. It's easy for us to become Pharisaical. And especially those who attend the Latin Mass. We like to think we're a little better. The Mass is a little better, and we can become a little more puffed up than others. You know, many times throughout my years, and I'm not saying this here in our parish here, but you know, I've been a priest for a long time now and a seminarian, and I meet people around the country who have been to the Latin Mass, and oftentimes they'll make reference. They'll talk about how they'll encounter people and they think that they're a little too prideful, a little too boastful. Why? Because they're being like the Pharisee, doing a little bit more than the rest of you, and too bad you're not like us. And that can be the Pharisaical attitude. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. Remember, every good thing we have comes from God. And we can turn that around. See, the Pharisee thought the good things were from himself in some way. We can turn that around and say, actually, the only things that are truly, truly our own are our sins. For those are the things that are not of God. And that is what comes from ourselves. It is our sins. Any good thing, be it if it's merited, we can merit it in a way. It doesn't merit completely from ourselves, but it's merited through God's grace, comes from heaven. And so humility is a recognition of that. They say humility is the truth. It is the truth. Now, someone could say, but Father, you know, in a sense, the Pharisee is saying the truth. He's listing the things that he's doing. He fasts and things like that. That's correct. But he doesn't get to the root of the matter. And that is that those things are not from himself. The one who is truthful is the publican. I'm a sinner. I betrayed you. I betrayed my people. I betrayed my faith. It's the truth. It's the truth. So, when we pray, we should always pray for humility. Humility is the virtue opposite of pride. And every sin is rooted in pride in one way or another. And so, as its opposite, humility as a virtue is the foundation of every virtue. Our entire spiritual life is in some way connected to humility. And so it's important to always strive for humility. Each one of us struggles against some particular sin, some particular cross. It may be anything, but our struggle will be in vain unless we also strive for humility. For that's the foundation. Pride is the root of all sin. And we can turn that around and say humility is the root of all virtue. So one of the best prayers of humility is to pray for that truth. Christ, who does not deceive or cannot be deceived, is truth itself. And so our prayer should ask Christ that we see the truth as he sees it. In particular, that we see ourselves, our own souls, as he sees us. Jesus, let me see myself as you see me. Let me know myself as I truly am. That's the prayer of humility. Or if you're close to Our Lady, you can ask Our Lady that. Mary, let me see myself as your Son sees me. And that prayer, over time, will bear fruit. God will show you the little things in your soul. We always think we're the greatest. It's like, you know, you think about it like a teenager. 17-year-olds oftentimes think they're perfect. And in a sense, we're all like that. But as things are revealed to us, we recognize our failures, our defects, defects in the soul. And this is humility. For when it is shown to us, then we have to be like the publican. confess it before God, and recognize it. That is from me. The evil that is in me is from me. God will show it to us, little by little. It won't be everything, but when we ask for it, He'll show us just a little taste. And then we approach God in humility, confess it, and ask for the graces to overcome it, and go on. And He will do this in the soul. Now, it will be painful. It will be humiliating. We think ourselves as perfect. And then when we see this, it's humiliating. And it can just be within ourselves. It doesn't have to be public. But you offer that up. There's no humility without humiliation. And this is a good way, a good form of humiliation. And it leads us to prayer, the prayer of the publican. Now, humility is sometimes like looking through a telescope. You know, we can look through our binoculars. If they're out of focus, you can just look and you just kind of see a white haze or a gray haze. They're so far out of focus, we don't see anything. And that is the person who's not very humble, looks at themselves. They don't really see any problems. Well, it's all kind of the same, Father. It's, I don't see any difficulties. Well, you're not perfect. It's just you're so far from it, you just don't see anything. And it's humility, slowly, we begin to focus. And this will take years. And then as we focus the binoculars, we begin to see things. You know, we see a tree, a house, a stream, slowly coming into focus. And that is humility in our own soul. We begin to see these things in our soul, our failures, the things that are not good, that is from ourselves. And as we go on, we continue to get more and more in focus. Now, unlike binoculars, where you ultimately reach a point of focus and you can't go anymore, we can imagine, though, that they would just keep getting more and more in focus. We can begin to see the little things. We can see a leaf. We can see the veins on the leaf, the little serrated edge of the leaf, the insects on the leaf. So if we can imagine these binoculars, that if we could just keep focusing them, everything just keeps getting sharper and sharper and sharper. And that is what humility is. As a person becomes more and more humble, they see their soul in more finer details. And they can see every little defect there. And they offer it to God. And this is why when we read the lives of the saints, they say things that sometimes we think are exaggerations. They'll say things like, "Oh, I'm the worst sinner in the world. Other people, if they had my graces, they would be so much greater than me." And we read that and we think, what are they talking about? This is obviously just sort of like a pious exaggeration. No! For they see their soul in so much clearer than we can see ours. The saint can see every little defect. They can see the graces that God gives them and the fact that they've lost those, they've squandered the graces. Why? Because they can see things the way God sees them. This is humility. And this is what we need to strive for. So, let's just wind this up here. So, the Pharisee and the publican is one of the shortest parables our Lord has given. And yet, it is one of the most important, for it strikes the heart of our spiritual life. Pride and humility. We all must strive for humility. We all must flee from being a Pharisee. Every good thing in us, even if we do prayers and God gives us graces, we do novenas, and Our Lady will give us, or St. Anne will give us graces, we have to recognize that our very ability to do that novena is something that's been given to us from God. Everything goes back to Him. All good comes from Him. This is humility. And we must be, then, the publican and recognize that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.